ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Hi, it's Sam Hawley from ABC News Daily, the podcast that brings you one big story affecting your world each weekday in just 15 minutes.
At some point, a global recession will bring the AI boom to an end, temporarily at least, but the world has changed forever.
Join me for ABC News Daily. Find us on ABC Listen.
It's been a rough week for the government trying to sell its budget. The hope was to spend the week talking about what it's doing to help young home buyers finally crack into the market. Instead, the decision to change capital gains tax rules for not just property investments, but for all investments, has created a backlash from young investors, entrepreneurs, and small business owners generally. Some of the criticism has been over the top, built on misinformation, but some of the concern is legitimate. The government is still working out how to apply these changes to startups in particular. Consultations are still underway. So what do startups want? How worried are they about the impact of these changes? And if they aren't protected, could entrepreneurs really pack up and leave? That's what I'm keen to better understand in this conversation. I'm David Spears on Ngunnawal Country at Parliament House in Canberra. Welcome to Insiders on Background. Kate Cornick is the CEO of the Tech Council of Australia. And in fact, not long in this job. Kate Cornick, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
In fact, I think this is your first interview, you were telling me. So your first reaction really to you've come into the job at an interesting time. But I am keen to hear what you think, what the Tech Council's position is on these capital gains tax changes.
Yes, thank you. And yes, it has certainly been an interesting time to arrive hot into the middle of this debate, which is probably one of the most substantive debates affecting the tech ecosystem for many years. And it's needless to say, there is real concerns that we are an unintended consequence of broader budget changes. And it does, if the proposed reforms go through, they will have a real impact on our sector. That is obviously of concern to our sector, but it should be of concern to Australia. Our sector is now the second largest sector in the economy. We contributed nearly $250 billion to GDP last year. And if we pull the plug from underneath the tech sector, we risk our future prosperity, our resilience, and our sovereign capability. So we are very concerned, but we are also working with government and our members to help ensure a good outcome.
Okay, well, there's a lot on the line from what you just said there. And we will come to the consultations and where perhaps you'd like to land or not like to land. But if these changes were to apply as announced on budget night to the tech sector generally, including startups, what would this mean? Going from the old capital gains tax regime of a 50% discount on your capital gain to a new regime where you simply take away inflation and are taxed on the real gain, what would that mean for the sector?
Well, broadly, for successful founders, it means that they are doubling their tax base and they're operating in one of the most uncompetitive innovation regimes in the global innovation economy. And that is the real concern. And this ultimately comes back to how we reward risk-taking and productive risk-taking in the economy. The average founder is an everyday Australian. They have a choice of whether they want to start a company or stay in stable employment. And there has to be a reward for opting out and taking a much higher risk approach, which, by the way, typically takes 10 to 15 years. So we want to make sure that the system is incentivizing founders to make the right choices. Beyond that, those founders need investment. So we need to be incentivizing our investors to back those really high risk companies. And we want to see funding flow to productive, highly productive companies that are going to build our economy rather than passive assets. And the final piece of the puzzle are the employees. When you have very little funding, to put it in perspective, the first investment round for a tech startup is on average around $1 million. That may sound like a lot to a lot of people, but that doesn't cover a lot of staff. So if you want to hire the best and brightest employees, you've got to persuade them to come and work for you for well below market rate salaries, and you offer them equity and give them an opportunity to create an upside for themselves. ourselves. So if we're removing the reward, we may not have those people step forward. If we don't have founders, we don't have a future tech industry. If we don't have investors, we won't grow a tech industry. And if we don't have employees, we won't be able to create the powerhouse companies that can change our economy, build the future Australia we want to see.
Understand that. On the tax change, though, that we're talking about, I think you mentioned that the tax they pay would double. Is that correct? If under the new regime, you take away inflation and are taxing the real gain, is the tax rate going to double for the average tech startup?
The challenge is actually in the cost base. So when you start and you're trying to define a cost base, when you start a company, your cost base is zero. Mm. So you're effectively shunting everybody into the income tax regime. And that is the problem for our sector. So I don't think there's many people saying that we don't need to pay tax. We absolutely want to pay, you know, be good corporate citizens. But what we want to make sure we are able to do is reward the risk that is going to encourage people to step forward and take what is a really difficult career path for a founder or employee and put your capital at higher risk than other assets in the economy that can ultimately pay off better for Australia.
I mean, the government says all of the existing concessions and exemptions for small business would remain. Are you saying that, generally speaking, the tech startups are going to be bigger than that small business category?
Absolutely. So tech startups are actually a subset of small businesses when they start, and they're a special case. They are using innovation. They're typically disrupting. They are almost always global in nature. So your average founder is not aiming to build a small company that will grow to a nice size. They're aiming to grow to a massive global organization, the likes of Canva and Atlassian. And that's the ambition that most founders start with. They have a problem that they've found, they've got a passion for saving it, and they want to build a big high growth company. And they need equity financing to grow that company. And that's very different from small businesses, which often are owner managed or have some small shareholding. So the very nature of a startup is different from a small business. I acknowledge that every entrepreneur is taking a risk, but tech startups are taking a greater risk than other sorts of entrepreneurs in our economy.
But if under the new regime, if you take away inflation over the however many years that the until the business is sold, isn't that going to mean you're not going to double the tax rate? It's going to be something less than that?
Well, it ultimately depends on the individual case of every exit, and every exit is different. But if you are in a successful exit and your cost base is zero to begin with and you have a $1 billion exit, the founder is going to get a percentage share of that, which will put them well into the top tax bracket, and they will therefore be paying a much higher tax rate than if they had the 50% CGT discount.
Okay. And you're saying that, is this going to deter those investors and founders from getting started at all, or are they going to look for other countries they can go and start up in? What impact will this have?
It's very nuanced. Let's face it, there's very few startup founders that jump out of bed saying, I'm not going to create a startup because of the government's tax regime. They jump out of bed saying, I'm passionate about this problem, I want to solve it, and I want to grow a business that's going to make a massive impact to them, the people they employ, their community, and broader citizens across the world. The challenge is that they need investment. And those investors need to bring their capital forward, high-risk capital. Those investors are in Australia, but they're also overseas. And our earlier stage founders are the most mobile founders. So if we don't have a competitive tax regime here, we're at real risk of creating a brain drain of people going overseas. There's also the view, which we agree with, that if people aren't incentivized to step forward, they may not step forward at all in the first place. If they are in safe employment, why take the risk if you are not going to get the reward? So there's a challenge there. The second part of the problem is the later stage companies and what they will do. And we've certainly heard in the press concerns that some of those companies will go offshore. Now, whether they actually are able to move entirely offshore is a different matter. But what they can do is restructure the way they operate so that they are growing their business more in overseas jurisdictions than in local within Australia. Mm-hmm. And so we're losing jobs offshore. Now, the one thing that all of this comes back to, and a phrase that many of your listeners will be well aware of, is it takes a village to raise a child. A startup, we say the same thing. It takes an ecosystem to raise a startup. So if you're pulling the founders, the role models, the investors out of the system, we will not be able to have an ecosystem that is going to survive. And just when a village gets decimated by a natural disaster, if our tech ecosystem gets decimated, it will take years to recover. And that's a real concern.
The government has been in consultations with the sector, it tells us. From your perspective, let me ask you, when did the consultations begin and what have they involved?
Well, I started this job 2 weeks ago, David, right. And I can tell you my very first meeting was absolutely on this issue. And so I think from our perspective, there has been consultation with our members, and there were certainly concerns raised before budget around this issue.
But was there consultation with the government before the budget?
There was consultation with government, and there were certainly communications into government while I've been in the seat to raise the issue and awareness. I think the other issue we've seen is that our community, the startup sector, is not a community that's particularly well adept at engaging with government. So I think it's fair to say that there were many startup founders that were taken by surprise. Our members at the Tech Council are certainly people that we engage with a lot, and we had concerns raised to us by members ahead of budget, which were communicated into government. But there are many, many more tech founders that were completely unaware. And we have certainly seen some, a real concern come out of that community, which aren't necessarily our member base, but are certainly representative of the tech sector.
And have your consultations with the government been with Treasury? Have they been with the Treasurer or others like Andrew Charlton in the government? Who's actually doing the consulting?
So we are working with government. We're working with Treasury. We certainly are talking to various ministerial offices. We've had discussions with the Department of Industry as well. And so there are consultations going on.
And are you satisfied with those consultations?
We're certainly very grateful to be part of them. And I would say that the Treasurer acknowledged on your show last weekend that startups deserve special attention, and we are making sure that special attention is being given, and we are working constructively with government and indeed our members to make sure we land on a good solution that doesn't result in unintended consequences.
Do you think the government gets it? Do they understand what you're telling us about?
I think government does understand the role of the sector. We wouldn't have had Chalmers come out and make the comment that he made on your show last weekend if he didn't understand that there was a special case about growing highly productive companies that are solving key challenges and helping grow our economy. The devil is in the detail, and how these CGT changes, proposed changes, flow through. I think there is still an education that needs to take place about what the tech sector is. I mentioned before, the vast majority of people are everyday Australians. One in four founders will actually raise money. So there's huge amounts of failure in the system. When they do raise money, 70% of those that raise money will fail. About 20% will return money to investors. No one earns a profit. No one gets a gain. Only 5% will actually create those returns. So we are a system that operates in the margins. And I do think we need to get some really solid education out there about how this system plays out. And we're certainly hearing from lots of successful founders, and founders who are indeed inspiring to be successful, as they should be. But the reality is our sector is representing everyday Australians that have a passion for changing the world, are ambitious, and need to be rewarded for taking
risk. So your point there is that, sure, there are some absolute success stories, and we're hearing a lot about them this week, but there are far, far more who don't make it.
Absolutely. And that risk reward and operating in the margins and striving for that one in 300 success story is what our system survives on. But we've got to encourage as many founders to step forward and start companies. We've got to encourage investors to unlock capital, particularly early stage investors that play a massive role in economic development in this sector. And then, of course, the employees that are going to go and forego highly paid jobs and work for lower wages in return for a higher potential gain in the long run.
So if we're not
creating that environment, we will not see the sector grow.
Let's talk about where this could potentially land, where you'd like to see this land through the consultation process, and bearing in mind the clock is ticking, the government wants all of this passed relatively quickly in the next 6 weeks. There are various ideas floating around. Do you have any preferences of how the tech sector could be given a carve out or some special arrangement here?
We're certainly working very hard behind the scenes, and I'm not able to share what our preferred solution is today. But what we are working on with our members is to make sure that we land on a solution that doesn't provide further unintended consequences. And we've certainly seen a number of proposals come forward that have potential. We've also seen a number of proposals that we believe would create further unintended consequences by narrowing the field too much and not recognising the breadth of the sector.
Can you explain what those proposals are that would have those unintended negative consequences?
So an example of that is a very niche regime called the early stage investment company regime, which is about tax breaks for a very narrow subset of startups that have to meet a very defined set of criteria. We have certainly been speaking to our investor community and our investor members, and a very small percentage, ranging from 0 to around 10% of all investments, fall into this category. So if the government were to rely on a very narrow carve out, they would not solve the concerns of the sector. So we want to avoid that.
So it needs to be broader than just those that you mentioned.
It needs to be broader than a very narrow regime, but we also understand that there are other opportunities to define a startup, and that is a non-trivial problem. There is no clearly legislated definition of a startup, and that is part of the problem that I think we are all grappling with, is how do we land that definition? And anyone who starts a business is an entrepreneur, and there's a spectrum, and where do we play in that spectrum? And that's a very real discussion that is going on right now. We can look to international examples, and in the US, UK, Canada, they have got schemes that we can lean on and look to, and they seem to be working very well.
What do they look like in simple terms?
So in simple terms, for example, the US scheme has a very generous CGT discount, and in some cases full exemption for a particular subset of businesses, and it is ultimately capped at a certain point.
The redemption is
capped at a certain point, but it really rewards that risk appetite and really encourages that investment and really encourages those employees to step forward and work at those companies. So we're not saying that's the solution, but we can certainly learn from what's happening elsewhere. Our biggest concern is that if we don't create a case for startups, Australia will be an outlier in our peers in the innovation ecosystem, countries like the US, like Singapore on our doorstep, like the UK, as well as New Zealand, that offers no capital gains. So we must make sure that Australia is competitive in the national, in the global ecosystem, and creating the right environment that rewards risk taking.
Would some sort of lifetime cap on the capital gains tax, be it a ceiling of 40% or wherever it is, would that be a way to go?
Look, we're not in a position to discuss the solutions, but I do think there are plenty of ideas floating around, and part of our job at the TCA is to figure out which ones are going to create the best outcome for the sector while not creating further unintended consequences.
Okay, but the principles are, in terms of where you'd like this to land, it needs to be broadly based enough to cover the sector. It needs to avoid that doubling of the tax rate. It needs to maintain competitive advantage with the US, Canada, UK, Singapore, like-minded countries.
Absolutely. And I think part of that is also recognising the different types of startups that we have in the sector. We've spoken about incentivising those early stage founders to step up and start a company, and making sure that those first investment checks are Australian and we're hanging on to those founders for dear life and make sure they grow their businesses here, not get encouraged to move to other ecosystems. We've also got to make sure that we're not creating an environment where our scale-ups are potentially restructuring their businesses to create jobs in other countries rather than focusing on helping our ecosystem here, growing the economy here, and creating prosperity for their employees and the broader Australian community.
When do you expect this all to be settled?
Well, you've set out a timeline before of, you know, 6 weeks, and we're certainly, that's the sort of stuff that we're hearing in the media. We certainly understand that government want a quick resolution on this, but we need to make sure that we get the right outcome for the sector.
Can I ask you, just finally here, a lot of this week we've seen these this pushback at what's happening here, not just for startups, but more generally with the AI-generated images of the Prime Minister taking half your business and so on. What have you made of all that? Is that you know, a fair point to make, or is that a bit misleading? How have you viewed it?
Well, our sector is nothing if they are not entrepreneurial, and we've seen that creativity come through this week. It's not something that we endorse at the TCA, and I do think there's a danger that this looks like wealthy founders calling for tax breaks. I don't believe that is the intent of the vast majority of people driving this campaign. What we need to continue to reinforce is that the vast majority of the sector are everyday Australians who are trying to create a better future for themselves and a more prosperous Australia, and they must be rewarded and incentivised.
So to be clear, you don't think the government's trying to take half the business, but you do worry that some are going to see their tax rate double under this?
Successful founders will see their tax rate increase significantly, and that is a disincentive to operating and starting and growing a startup in this country. So we absolutely need to make sure that we are rewarding that risk. It's got to be more than the status quo. And at the end of the day, we want an ambitious Australia that is solving, building great businesses of the future, building resilience, building sovereign capability, and solving some of our biggest challenges in healthcare, education, food security, and beyond.
Well, Kate Cornick, look forward to seeing how the consultations proceed and where this does finally land. We really appreciate you so soon in this job and grappling with such a big change, joining us to talk through it and give us a better understanding of where the sector is coming from. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
And we'll have more on this on the show on Sunday. So I hope you can join us then for Insiders on ABC TV. And PK will be back in the Politics Now feed on Monday. Bye for now.
You're making us all feel very excited about being here.